Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Off Air, the podcast. With Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
Keep your cheese in the sink.
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, no.
I don't,
yes.
How would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.
Received wisdom is that eating sounds bad on the radio, but as Ben and I know, it sounds marvellous in Desert Island Crisps. Everyone going, my old...
Wasn't that the thing that everyone hated so
yes,
much?
Yes, it was the thing that everyone hated about it. My plan, I haven't eaten yet as part of my 16-8 diet, and because I've got a small hangover, mm-hmm. I saved it to now, and I thought if I ate now, I'll be on the sugar up, because in about 12 minutes after eating this toast, I'm going to want to go to sleep, so...
Have you got 12 minutes?
I can have a massive, so I think we get it, get on
12
with it.
Minus.
Is it really bad if I'm crunching?
I'm only going to add in fake toast crunching later on anyway.
I noticed from the Daily Mail. The war on Ukraine is over. Front page, Burkow. The big page three, which has been war, is now Camilla Parker Bowles meets Emerald Fennell.
And poor Emerald Fennell is pursuing her excellent career without the use of any feet or any hands, as you noted.
I thought she was wearing the super posh we've discussed before. The way that if you're of a certain amount of wealth, you're too rich to put your arms in the sleeves.
Shoulder robing.
So you just put it. So rich ladies just have it over their shoulders, basically, so they can throw off their coat and immediately count their money really easily. I thought she was doing that, but then I realised no, you're quite.
She's missing her feet too. So she's done. She's wearing a sort of jacket, a sort of cape jacket, which is hiding her hands, and she's done a bit of a Victoria Beckham with her trousers, and her trousers cover her shoes, so she looks like she's got no hands and no feet.
Do you know what she looks like? She looks like the
iceberg.
She looks like the sign on the front of the ladies' loo, where they tell you know where they
the
tell triangular sort of
dress.
Triangular person.
Yeah, that outfit when she was kind of on the move and swishing around would look amazing, but she's just they've slightly caught her with a bad photo there.
Yeah. Then we've got a story on the bottom of page three, which I'm going to want to come back to you later.
Yes, I noted that down.
Yeah,
too.
Doggy depresses.
Dogs are depressed.
So tell me, at what point in your life did you find she has a problem with your mother?
What?
No, oh
is
my
this
god.
Is all to do with the psychosexual drama?
But is the psychiatrist a German Shepherd? Or an Austrian?
A German psychoanalyst. Do you know...
Well, of course, this is because... this. You know why they're all depressed, right? It's because these are all...
this is going to be a war.
Right, because it's lockdown puppies.
Oh, yeah.
But so taught by people who shouldn't have a dog, don't know how to look after them, dogs are depressed.
75% of dogs have poor mental health, apparently. 8.8 million dogs in this country indicating anxiety or depression, with 18% showing symptoms.
Right, okay, so what is... So what I would say, the thing I would think is just... because and the suggestions are, two walks a day isn't enough. You have to play with them. They have to have, like, funny toys. They basically have to, quote-unquote, work, because dogs were bred to do work and not just sit there being your friend because you haven't got any other friends.
Except
what's funny about that?
Well, they were, but they're being bred out, aren't they? Because they're working, because they now, yeah. As we noted yesterday, sitting on our stoop for the first time this year because it was quite spring-like, and literally every single person that walked past had a dog.
And the same dog. They've all got a Labradoodle.
Exactly.
Every single
what
one.
Was a Labradoodle bred for?
To be hypoallergenic and not shed fur.
There you
everywhere.
Go. It hasn't been bred to work. So a Labrador is bred to do, what, some sort of hunting, gun work, isn't it? Gun dog. And a poodle is a water dog, isn't it?
So it goes after your ducks that you've shot.
So you take a Labrador and a poodle when you go shooting, and if the duck lands in the water, the poodle gets it, and if it lands on land, the Labrador gets it, and if they fuck, you end up with a Labradoodle, which is what? Hypoenergetic, and you can walk
well, it
the
seems
park.
To be the dog that you have to own in order to be gained entry in order to go on the heath. It's almost like it's mandatory to have a dog to go for a walk on the heath.
And so no wonder these dogs are depressed, because the Labradoodle is going, row! What am I here for? Row, row! You know, yeah, dad was a gun dog. Mum was a gun dog. They went out. You know, mum was a water gun dog. She went off with that. What am I for? We all know that a kleptocrat is ruled by thieves, that they call Russia a kleptocracy, and it's from Greek.
I don't think Russians call themselves kleptocrats,
we have,
do
yeah,
they?
Excellent kleptocracy. Yeah, I'm working my way up to kleptocracy. At the bottom of the kleptocracy is like the Artful Dodger.
Mm.
Then Fagin, Bill Sykes, who worked way up to Putin. But there was this wonderful thing that you'd said, the kleptocrats are so high up in the Russian army that when they go, we've got loads of tanks, they've actually stolen the money.
Well, yes, the theory is that Putin was unaware that his army, which he had kind of rearmed, hadn't been rearmed as well as he thought it had, because all sorts of money's been siphoned off.
Because he took a load of thieves and burglars and gave them jobs in the military, and then was really surprised when they stole all the money.
Yeah. Because they stole it all and spent it on yachts and villas, because they didn't think for one second that this Russian army was ever going to actually have to invade anywhere. Surprise!
Well, so I was thinking, we've got to explain what kleptocracy is. There could be some other ocracies. A word that I've always known, well, I've known because it was on a Triv machine at university 30 years ago, is kakistocracy. Do you know that one?
Everyone's crap.
Yes, it is. It's a rule by the worst. Out of interest, I looked up some and made up some hilarious ones. Thinking about our current government would be a weenocracy.
Ruled by penises.
Wieners.
Wieners.
It would be run by boozers, drinkers, alcoholics.
A ween.
Well,
like
O-E-N.
Like a
weenophile. But yeah, you pronounce it weenophile. This was me Googling ancient Greek for...
Yeah.
Drunkard, and what you get, I think, weenos. I mean, it is wine, but they didn't have like a full range of spirits and wines and beers back then.
Yeah.
So the word was collected for everything. I'm straying into territory above my educational level, which is rare, but I am. So like a weenocracy would be this. And it's what people think of a simpocracy. Symposium is the word for party. It's the part of an evening in ancient Greece. I mean, I know there's also Plato's Symposium, which is something else, but that's the word for a party. So a simpocracy or a symposium would be party animals. A joke about...
That's a bit of an old, boring joke, isn't it?
Or the parties in Downing Street.
Well, purocracy.
What's that?
Run by kids.
We've gone back into my level. Puer is Latin. Has to be a Greek word.
Oh, does it?
You can't mix Greek and Latin. It's the only word you can mix Greek and Latin is television.
Yeah, I know my Greek is non-existent.
Tele, which meaning far in Greek, and then video. I thought a pseudiocracy would be a rule by liars. A lagnocracy, I think, would be a rule by sex pests. I don't know how you pronounce it, but...
Is there any way of sort of concertinaing all the words together? Because they seem to be run by
so Boris Johnson's boozing... government of Wino Simpo Pseudo Lagnocrats.
Yes.
Which would be hard-drinking, lying, shagging party animals.
Yeah.
That's welcome to Britain's Wino Simpo Pseudo Lagnocracy.
That's a great word. I love it. And that can be your punchline.
Column, excellent. Well, that can be a little thing. However, do you know what aristocracy is? What it actually translates as.
Aristo. It's going to be something really silly, like wise, like the wisest or something.
It's ruled by the best.
Yeah.
Which is like, that was like before, that's not what we think of it as now, is it? You look it up expecting to mean rule by chinless dorks with massive estates.
Rule by red trousers.
Rule by people with red trousers.
But anyway, I wonder if, presumably in the, my Greek civilization is... knowledge is literally zero, but is it
so? Amuse us all with your misconceptions.
But the aristocracy in back then probably generally was the best. No, or do you think not? How would you select the best for the aristocracy if it wasn't?
Well, aristocracy was inherited. So aristocracy then was versus democracy, which was ruled by the people, the demos.
Right.
And the aristocracy, I mean, the aristocrats then, first of all, it was smaller. So like ancient Greece, Athens, whatever, it was like 300,000 people.
Exactly.
So everyone was related to everyone. And it's like the best families, they just said, we're the best, we're going to run everything.
And also the demos, when people say demos, the people, they only mean like a group of maybe like 1,000 people. Like we didn't count like the slaves or like basically everyone else. Or the women or anyone who hasn't been taught by Aristotle or whatever. So the demos and like...
Demos meant rich blokes.
Exactly.
And Aristos meant rich blokes who were the children of rich blokes.
The really okay guys, and then the teeming mass of everyone else who we don't even regard as human.
And now we've ended up with a Wino Simpo Studio Lagnocracy.
I really love that.
A word that only Boris Johnson, ironically, of any politician would understand. Speaking of aristocracy, I don't understand why our servant hasn't switched off the bleep on the dishwasher, but I'm going to go and do it.
It's okay, fine.
The washing machine. I don't know the difference because I'm an aristo.
She's not our servant. She's our domestic coordinator.
Unacceptable takes on the war.
Yes, you said that now three times, and I'm a bit worried about this one. You mentioned it earlier on, and I was just like,
did I?
Please, no, forget about that.
Okay, so basically, it's this. It's like, there's a call you have to make if you're a kind of diversionary columnist, like we both are, which is, it can't be anything new. My opinion on the war doesn't matter. I know nothing that everybody else doesn't know, and I'm unlikely to form a new opinion because... You know, we want to hear up to a point what Danny Finkelstein thinks about it, or, you know, a political thinker thinks about it like that. He was, you know, brilliant this morning on the reality of a nuclear war, which one tries not to think about. And then I was thinking, well, when can you laugh? You've got to be allowed to laugh when there's a war on. So I was thinking about...
And no one's got a better sense of humour than the Ukrainians, as we now discover.
Ruled by a comedian.
What's comedy in Greek?
Good question, because that's what Ukraine is.
Yeah, Ukraine is
what is it?
Comedyocracy.
It may well be comedy. Because I'm thinking it's not from... I think comedy may be a Greek word. Just put ancient Greek for comedy. I know you're not very good at Googling things, but...
Ancient Greek... I'm not very good at Googling things. Ancient...
It's really weird. She can't Google things. She puts in really weird questions and confuses Google. Instead of just writing ancient Greek for comedy in the thing, she'd have written something really weird. What have you written into Google? Why can't you Google things? It's so annoying.
Commodia.
Commodia.
Like K, like in Roman words, K-O-M-O-I-D. Letters.
Okay, so it does come from Greek.
So commodocracy.
Commodocracy sounds a little bit like a rule by dragons.
Yeah, Komodo dragons.
So it's commodocracy is what they are.
Yeah.
As opposed to our, we know, simpo pseudo lacnocracy.
I think that's got legs, that idea. I like it.
I'm going to keep using it. So there's no way of editing it out. There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Runfest Run is the UK's ultimate running festival, and it's back this May, just 20 minutes from Reading. Join me, Vassos Alexander, Chris Evans, Paula Radcliffe and other running royalty as we run by day and party by night. With Sophie Ellis-Bextor, Toploader, Basement Jacks and so many more. Tickets on sale at runfestrun.co.uk.
There, a number of people have talked in the Ukraine very movingly, and I heard a bloke, was it, you know, I don't know whether it was Klitschko or someone like that, or it wasn't Zelensky, but it's Klitschko, some army guy, or someone just in besieged Mariupol or something, saying, you know, eventually you become used to war. And it's after days, it's been 2 weeks, and I don't know why I sound like Chelsea manager, what's his name, Portuguese guy. What was he called?
It's just your
special one.
It's just what your general all-purpose foreign.
What's the special one called? Mourinho.
Yeah, just you try to do Ukraine accent, you end up Mourinho. Referee is terrible. I am careful what I say. I get in trouble with FA. Referee is fucking useless. He is.
Mm-hmm.
I have no money to buy players anymore, and it's terrible. And anyway, sorry, forget that. The point. What I'm trying to say is the Ukrainians were going. We get up, we have breakfast, we go about our life, and there is a situation where you're being bombed every day, and it becomes normal. It's no less serious, but it becomes normal. So I'm saying, in the same way, what I want to say is I'm not going to write these things and I don't think these things, but is there a column in a listicle about unacceptable war takes? This is an unacceptable thing to say. It's not like Jimmy Carr unacceptable.
Unacceptable war. I mean, look, I see where you're going with this. It's quite a complicated conceptual thing. And I wonder if you might get yourself...
I'm hoping to get the humour out of increasingly unacceptable points. What about I fancy Putin? It's tricky because I'm a bloke, but Catelyn Moran always does an I fancy piece. She did fancy Zelensky.
Mm-hmm.
She has in the past done I fancy Gordon Brown, I fancy Ed Balls, I fancy Chewbacca.
Yeah.
I fancy Aslan out of The Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe. And obviously what Catelyn always fancies is like big, strong, hairy left-wingers.
Like her husband.
Like Peter, exactly. Yeah. So it's true. Yeah, you're quite right. But Peter's a bit more delicate. He's not as strong as... But basically, though, she likes...
Not afraid to wear a cardigan.
Yeah, exactly. She likes a left... So Catelyn's never going to write I fancy Putin. Probably, I don't think, because she means it when she writes this fancy, and she uses sort of sexual desire of a woman as an imprimatur of approval to broadly left-wing or, I don't know how Aslan's politics necessarily, but...
Aslan is Jesus Christ, so
is
I don't
he?
Know.
Yeah. So basically left-wing. So what about I fancy Putin? I mean, people say that he's actually in quite good shape.
Gorgeous puffy face. Yeah. when he does those shirtless things on a horse.
So not a bad chest, frankly, for a man of...
He's got a dad bod. He's got a decent dad
don't
bod.
Don't say like you, because you say dad bod I've got.
I didn't say like
you. Saying I've got a Putin body. Actually, Catelyn once wrote about how she fancied me. That shows how long ago it was.
That's a long, she did a long time ago.
Oh, you remember it? Well, you mean it must have been a long time ago when I was fanciful.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a TV review of Supersizers, 2007. Oh, I'll never forget. And she wrote about Giles Conn's really hot. She went off me when she discovered I was right wing.
Mm. But you're not. That's the weird thing. It's just that everything has shifted so completely, like, out
the world
control.
Will turn into commies.
The world's everyone's...
They will turn into commies and...
Well, there's that thing that the left trying to shove everyone in the centre left into being right wing.
It's worked with me.
you just got old, that's all.
So anyway, so Putin. So wait a minute, you're saying I'm quite a lot like Putin?
Listen, I think there is an essential kernel in Putin's soul, which is fully masculine, which exists inside all men. That's what I think.
Really?
Yes, I do. That this is why men... Putin's kind of the little kind of core sort of little microchip inside him that started this war exists inside all men, and I don't think it exists
so you,
inside
it's
women.
Basically the invasion of Ukraine is man spreading.
Yes, 100%. Oh my god, like whether you do it with invading Ukraine or whether you do it like a fight about your garden wall or your Leylandia or the fucking bins, it's always men who start these.
Oh God! We don't want to get into the if women ruled the world, there'd be no wars. Because they would. There'd be death by.
It's an interesting question. I don't know what would happen, but but really, I don't think there would be any war. I mean, there would be conflict, but it would be different.
It'd be passag, would it? So he wouldn't actually go into Ukraine. He'd just turn his back on Ukraine and not make it tea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that passag?
Withdraw sexual favors and just so, generally go.
Well, I don't know what you want to do with your country, but in my country. We have free healthcare for all, actually.
The fact that he's just... you now say he's being a bloke. And the worry we have is that he's going to be like some sort of mental pissed bloke. The kind of bloke who, when arrested after a fight outside a pub, turns on the police.
Yeah.
And everything's so fucked now, he might as well try
and
kill the police
and then
steal the police car. The main thing is, fuck me, he might be such a thick bloke with his mansplaining of Ukraine is have nuclear weapons and is invade, lying to just try and get people on his side. He may then just like hit the nuclear button.
So you've seen the film The Mask starring Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Putin's basically put
you
the
draw
mask.
Everything comes back to The Mask.
That's because it's a wonderful analogy, The Mask. Putin is wearing some fucking mask.
Well, it is. It's the... That
it's his Botox mask.
Underneath his mask is like this old Russian man.
Yeah.
But then there's this weird kind of rubber face. It looks like eyes painted on a bum. Which is a really weird thing to want to have when you're so powerful. Because I reckon his plastic surgeon stole all the money. So he didn't really just gave him that really weird art
space. Yeah, it's some sort of plastic surgeon that's been rejected from Hollywood by being not very good. He's now working in Russia on Putin's face.
This story I really liked. Okay. So there's how many? 2,800 Russians?
2,300.
2,300 Russian kids in the private schools. Uh-huh. Okay. So yes, fine, on a plus side, all the people competing to get their children into Eton will be able to a bit more because the Russians aren't going there. But did you see the piece? If you read down, the Russians wouldn't be allowed because all those independent schools would lose their charitable status. Right. These kids, he said, these kids will have to go to state schools.
Yeah.
So I then thought of Grangeski Hill. So I thought, I suddenly had this notion, because the Russians, they don't want to go to school and learn things and be in the national curriculum and like, are you on free school dinners or are you not? And like, Russians go to school in order that they can meet people like Boris Johnson. Russians want to go to Westminster and Eton and St. Paul's so they can row and wear fancy clothes and...
Do they just go because it's best and most expensive?
It's best school in the whole of everywhere.
Yeah.
No, it's not. They're not so caring about this. They won't get part of the place in British establishment. So soon they go to school, they go to British school, more normal, like, for example, Grangeski Hill. Hello, my name Oleg. I am arrived for first day at school. Please tell me where is Chauffeur Park?
Where is Gold Bathroom?
Are you saying that
Grangeski Hill would be your entire piece?
Yeah, Grangeski Hill. A vision of just a normal English, big English comprehensive, suddenly full of Russians.
I love it as an idea. Yeah. I love it. I think it's fantastic. You don't know anything about comprehensive schools, though, or Russia.
I've always imagined that comprehensive... I mean, are we going to go there? I mean, look, yes, I was to have a very privileged education. I've seen the outside of a lot of state schools. To me, they look an awful lot like what I imagine Soviet Russia looked like. Aren't they just really big places where no one has enough to eat and everyone's mean to you?
So there's certainly a lot of brutalist architecture in modern secondary schools. I think the food's okay, although... They're all in the corner shop.
It's free school meals, just like Russia. Unless you've got some money, just like Russia. It's a basically Soviet system.
I think it's an amazing idea. And if you knew anything about the comprehensive system...
So I don't have to know about the comprehensive system. I just have to know about Grange Hill, you see. So
what are they called? Zamo.
Zamsky. Zamo already sounds Russian.
Zamo.
Tucker Jenkins.
If you can remember some storylines...
Flippy neck, Tucker.
If you can remember some storylines, things could end with like, but then there wasn't enough parking on the roof of my helicopter.
Do you remember Zamo's... Are you old enough to remember Zamo's campaign against heroin? The Zamo character was on Smack and there was a song, just say no, no, just say no. It was a say no to drugs. So just say nyet would be a thing. This is, no? And also, there was Stewpot. There was Stewpot who snogged Trish. Trisha Yates. Flippin' Eck Tucker. Benny was their mate who was really good at football. Alan was the fat one. It was like representative 1970s English kind of thing.
How the hell?
I watched
Grange Hill every week and I don't remember a single thing about it.
When I watched it, there was nothing else on the telly.
I was either watching Grange Hill or Columbo. Also, there was nothing on the telly when I was
watching
it. You
were at a state school, so it wasn't so amusing to
it
you.
It wasn't that funny.
So to me, it was fucking hell.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Where are the dorms?
I've completely switched off. I mean...
That's the bit, yeah. Okay.
You have it. Listen, you know you've got a time limit, and I turn into a pumpkin, and that's it. And I'm now not. I'm just looking at you. There's no one home.
I want to talk about Uncharted, this movie we went to
see. Oh my god, that was bad.
There was a point in Uncharted where I was having troubles with realism at one point, and there was a thing where they fight. Okay, so they found Vasco da Gama's two galleons, perfectly preserved.
Who's Vasco da Gama?
Is it not Vasco da Gama?
Who?
The guy who sailed around the world. Is that not what the whole film's about?
Oh, God, right, yeah. Is that a real person?
For fuck's sake! Oh, my God! You're the person the film needs to be made for so they can find out who Vasco da Gama was. The projection of the world, the Mercator projection, the map, yeah? The map, the 15th century, 16th century map of the thing. Vasco da Gama, it's da Gama, that's what we're talking about. Okay. That's what the film's about. That's what they discovered, unrealistically. And you were persuaded because you didn't know
I thought it was a load of pirates. Or pirates and people who go around the world just the same thing. Like Francis Drake,
yes,
pirate.
But one of the interesting things about it, that film was made before everyone decided that Francis Drake is a slaver. So the boys are called, the guy, Tom Holland character is called Drake. They're the Drake brothers and they love Francis Drake because he went around the world. Now Francis Drake is being taken off American syllabuses. He's being understood because he was male. I mean, he transported humans. So he's now predominantly a slaver, and he's not. It's not a great story. And the fact is, Vasco da Gama is going to go that way as well, because they all do, these explorers. But the thing was, no, in this film, so the two galleons of Vasco da Gama are preserved
in a cave.
And there's a bit when he goes in, he's trying to find the gold, but the gold is in barrels, and on top of the barrels are cloves. And he puts his hand and goes, cloves. And you go, they're 500-year-old cloves.
I love the fact that like, that's your problem with that movie.
The place that the galleons are being kept is right on the edge of the sea, which is the one place that nothing survives. I mean, you can't, you know, the salt, you can't smell the... Later, when the two galleons of Vasco da Gama are dangling from helicopters, swinging through the air, and they're going dang, 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 and when Tom Holland manages to load a 500-year-old cannon, which is not at all corroded or rusted, but and puts the and lights it with his Zippo, and it fires across and blows up the other helicopter, I started to worry less about the clothes.
Yes.
And then I just thought, fuck me, because of CGI and what it can do.
Yeah.
You can do amazing things with CGI. Mm. Tom Holland's other films, all three Spider-Mans, are unbelievable. Mm. But you can also do things where two massive medieval galleons swing through the air from helicopters, firing at each other, with Marky Mark in one of them. And it's like, and Marky Mark, who's like really not enjoying being in the movie because...
He's really not,
is
he?
It's a Tom Holland movie. Marky Mark is just going, oh man. And it's just a film. I think Kevin Mayer I always think of him. And he wrote about it. It's just how muscly, these two incredibly muscly guys bulging out of their things. And it's all about the bodybuilding bit and how jealous... You know, Marky Mark must be to be at the end of his career and see. It's like me reading James Marriott in the Times.
Yeah.
And thinking, yeah, that's great, man, but he's going to be still doing it when I'm dead. Bastard.
What really annoys me about bad movies like Uncharted and bad books and everything is that, you know, people talk such crap about like character development and story structure, and it's got to be like this and like that. And I'm not at all bitter that I don't have a contract for a fiction contract with the product. I'm not. This is all fine, but you slave over your plot and you slave over your characters and you slave over your writing, and then this gets made.
It's a 93% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Like,
although our 8-year-old son. Did fucking love it.
Our 8-year-old son came out of it, and he thought it was just so amazing. And I had to shush you down a couple of times.
I know.
There was one when you tried to say it was bad, and there's one when Sam went, "Oh well, shit on it then." He said, sitting in the back of the car, because he just thought it was absolutely fucking brilliant. And that's when I was really glad that I wasn't next to you, because we sat Kitty between us, and then Sam, and I could see Sam in that at the Odeon Holloway, just basically lying down, popcorn, Coke. Watching these fucking galleons dangling from helicopters is the best thing ever. And then he comes back and writes his novel. He's now on page whatever of his, you know, he writes these stories. And they have, it'll, very soon there'll be the dangling galleon. And I'm going to say, fine. I would love to see Uncharted rewritten by like Zadie Smith and see if with a purely character-driven narrative, you can get to galleons dangling from
a
helicopter.
No, with a character-driven narrative, that would have been absolutely, they missed... oh my god, they missed such a trick with that. They couldn't decide what Marky Mark's character was.
Yeah.
They were going for like
again,
George Clooney grifter.
When you say, remember when you say they couldn't decide what kind of character Marky Mark was, that in this film there's a cannon dangling from a helicopter that shoots a galleon out of the sky that was the first to circumnavigate the globe under Vasco da Gama. You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. To find out what I wrote about in the end, you can pick up a copy of The Times or get a digital subscription. Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran Has No Idea. You can listen to us on The Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, the Times daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on the Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.